Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way. Welcome. This is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight, this episode's going to be in memory of our childhood neighbor and friend, Chris Achilles.
Well, you make it sound like he's dead.
Oh, no, he's very much alive. Okay. It's just, I'm just remembering him, that's all.
Delivery is, in memory of, makes it sound like he died. He's not dead.
No, he's not dead at all, no. No, in fact, he's hard at work, hard at play in Tempe, Arizona. Tempe? I don't even know how to pronounce it.
I think Tempe is something you eat.
Yeah, so he's a hard-working, hard-playing guy who has a house full of robots. And he's got a Tesla that is painted in the Iron Man colors.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So again, hard work and hard playing. So rest in peace, Chris Achilles. This episode's for you.
In memoriam.
Iron Man 2008, directed by Jon Favreau, who directed Elf.
Oh. Well, this was better than that.
I think so. So Brother Drew, this is on your list.
It is. Yeah. It's a low bar for me to enjoy pretty much any of the Marvel movies. So yeah, it's... When this one came out, I was super excited for it. I thought Robert Downey Jr. was the perfect choice for Tony Stark. Yeah, I remember when it came out, I pestered my wife into taking the day off. So that Friday it came out, we took the day off. This was before we had kids. And we went and saw it at a 10:30 showing on opening day at the Totem Theater in Anchorage.
Wow. Is the Totem still open?
It is, but only as a second-run movie theater.
Of course, everything nowadays has been suspect.
I think pretty much nothing is open movie theater-wise. Or, I don't know, maybe, are they?
AMC reopened. They just have requiring masks and distancing. But again, personally, I have no desire to be in a movie theater now.
Yeah, it seems troubling.
Maybe John Wick Infinity Wars, but that's about it.
John Wick Infinity Wars?
It was a joke.
Okay.
Drew smiled. It's all worth it for Drew's grimace.
Yeah. It's not a grimace. That's his normal look. Come on, man. So, when you watch it again for this episode, what'd you think?
I think it holds up really well. I still enjoyed it. It's a little dated. It's a MySpace reference, which is a little jarring. But yeah, it was fun to go back and see the beginning of everything. Yeah, I had a good time.
So, Brother Jay, had you seen this before?
I have. I don't remember when or why. It wasn't in a movie theater. It was at home. I really don't remember how I came to it the first time. But I thought it was okay the first time. This time, it's okay. It's got some problems.
Hard disagree.
Yeah, it turns out I really enjoyed watching it this time. I remember at the time, I remember thinking, oh, cool. You know, it had lots of good special effects and it was funny. And, you know, Robert Downey Jr. was in a different level of his career than he is now. It's hard to remember back then. Like, he was not nearly the highest paid person in this movie. You know who was the highest paid person in this movie?
Jeff Bridges.
No.
Oh.
No.
Terrence Howard. He was coming off Hustle and Flow. And
is that why they didn't bring him back for the next one?
Well, Drew's got a story about that.
Oh.
Yeah, I do believe he expected to have a salary increase commensurate with his co-star's salary increase.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr.'s salary went from $500,000 for this movie.
Wow, really? Did he have points?
No, the thing was, he was uninsurable.
Oh.
Yeah, this is back in those days.
Yeah.
Oh. And you're like, oh, Robert Downey Jr. has decided to act again.
Yeah, is he at a rehab already?
In the first of many, many times, Marvel has said, nope, we can recast you. It won't be a problem. No one will care.
Yeah.
And they were right.
Oh, yeah. Turns out. Like a lot of, well, maybe just movies in general, but certainly these kind of properties, you know, the Iron Man movie had been in at least thought, probably as long as there have been superhero movies. But they were thinking, well, we don't have to cast somebody famous for a movie about a guy in a suit.
But I think the casting was important.
Turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have put Paul Rubens in the suit, but that would have been a different movie.
Well, and also, they did away with secret identities. That was like a stated goal, right?
Yeah. Seeing this the first time, that was actually pretty surprising at the end of the movie.
Spoiler.
That is not what happens in the comic books at all.
Yeah. There are lots of fun things in this movie. I mean, just things that surprise me. As an origin story of basically a guy with no real superpowers, just like fancy toys, they showed a lot of the development process, but I enjoyed all of it. Like, I didn't think that part of it drug at all. I thought that was actually a lot of the funny parts of it.
Yeah, it was actually, you know, having seen all of the Marvel movies, it was actually quite fun to go back and see, like, the janky version of the Iron Man suit. Not even the first one, but like the his fancy suit by the end of the movie. That's still pretty pretty low tech compared to some of the later versions of the suit. But it was fun.
And weird that they would start off the Marvel Cinematic Universe with this character. I think they had to do some seed planting before the movie even came out, right? To reintroduce America to who the hell Iron Man was?
Yeah, well, I think at this point they didn't have any of their super popular characters. They didn't own the rights to them anymore. Because if the characters were popular, had already sold them off to other studios.
Ah, okay.
Like X-Men and Spider-Man and Fantastic Four even.
Let's see, and they still don't own Spider-Man, right? Sony still owns Spider-Man?
Right, but they have an agreement to use him.
Which is cool, as it should be. Everybody can make money in this.
I think there's even some weird rights with the Hulk.
Yeah, I don't know. And like, I know that was, like, the Fantastic Four was in hell for a while too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why they made a Fantastic Four movie that never actually saw the light of day.
Right.
Or played in like one theater or something. Whatever they had to do contractually to keep the rights for however many more years.
Yep.
Sort of a Spinal Tap thing. Because that's why the guys from Spinal Tap show up in Spinal Tap characters every so often. Because as long as they do that, they can continue to have the rights to those characters. But as soon as they don't, the rights are revert back to the studio.
Oh, clever. So when they die.
Yeah, when they die, then they can do whatever they want with the Spinal Tap property.
The studio gets it back.
Yeah.
So you don't even own yourself after death.
Well, that's why when you go onto Apple Music, you'll see all these remastered songs from the original artist, because turns out the bands don't necessarily own the digital rights to that music.
Well, that's disheartening.
So you have to go back and remaster it, re-record it even. And then talk to Taylor Swift about who owns her music. Yeah, it turns out you get a lot of money for something. You may not get the rights to do exactly what you want with it. Unless you're George Lucas. But even then. Anyway. Okay, so Iron Man 2008. We open with the convoy of military Humvees driving across Afghanistan. And in one of them is billionaire weapons developer Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. I have to say right off the bat, by the way, I am so tired of AC/DC being used as a song gimmick. Like, it's so cliche. Find something more creative, even in 2008.
Well, so I was fully expecting them to use the Black Sabbath Iron Man.
That at least would have been witty.
Well, they did use it.
Well, at the very, very end.
Yeah.
But I would expect them to. I was waiting to hear the Iron Man voice come on like every time between as they did a switch between scenes.
There is no excuse in this day and age with the vast amount of media that exists that you need to recycle a song that has been used multiple times in multiple movies to multiple effects that had no appreciable addition to this story. See also Bad to the Bone.
But it puts you in a mood, though, for a certain
No, it didn't actually. It brought me right out of the movie because I was immediately mad at it.
Okay, what would you prefer? What's a...
Again, not for me to say. Something else would have been better, though. Something original or something from a different artist, perhaps. Something that wasn't tired and old and used.
So, like, see so Quentin Tarantino it up and come back with some, like, Billy Squier's The Stroke or something? Or maybe something from the Montrose album?
Again, something a little...
Anything about the Commodores.
There you go.
Just get Lionel Richie. He's probably free.
And 2008, that was a different time. You got to remember way back to 2008. It was 2 years before MacGruber, damn it.
2 years before Twitter.
And Terrence Howard's voice surprised me. I don't know. Maybe it's a, I don't know. I just didn't expect him to have such a teeny tiny voice with such a large framed guy.
Who was it? Don Cheadle that replaced him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just grateful that it wasn't Cuba Gooding Jr.
You know, it's in this kind of in these kind of movies, it could have been anybody, right?
I mean, yeah.
All of a sudden, was it War Machine gets onto a bus full of Lucy's?
See, that would have been hilarious.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So anyway, Tony Stark is riding with some soldiers on duty and he's joking back and forth and it's very cute. And I think, again, Robert Downey Jr. pulls off this character great. You know, he's a handsome guy who is also a, you know, like a fairly complete degenerate. Well, maybe not degenerate. Mm-hmm. That's not a good word. More like
he's a self-absorbed, arrogant crap head.
Yeah.
He's super smarmy, but somehow is still really charismatic while doing it.
But yeah, he was the perfect actor for this role.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the convoy's ambushed and Tony ends up realizing that all the armament being fired against him is all Stark Industries, and he loses consciousness after being bombed, and shrapnel lands in his chest. And then we flash back to Las Vegas 36 hours earlier, where he's about to receive the Apogee Award, and we get to learn all this. This is basically the Exposition Awards.
Yes.
Where we learn the history of the Stark family, and we also get to meet Obadiah Stane, which has to be directly from the comic book because it's a dumb name.
It is.
Also, Colonel James Rhodey Rhodes.
Hey, you just alienated all of our listeners named Obadiah, so.
You know, I was thinking about adopting a sourdough kind of character to tell stories, those pre-pandemic stories, and I was going to call him Obaderic or Jebaderic. But, or, you know, Eric Badiah didn't sound right. So I'm still working on it. We'll see. I have a lot of ideas in this head, man, but I got no robots to do it for me. Anyway, Tony's not in attendance. He's gambling, blah, blah, blah. He meets a reporter named Christine Everhart, played by Leslie Bibb, who has some pointed questions about the ethics of his arms business.
And then he literally charms the pants off her.
He does. And the next morning, she wakes up. In his
the Malibu house.
Yes.
So why was this important to the story?
Just to show what a ladies' man he is, and to introduce Pepper Potts as kind of a quick-witted badass. Also a dumb name directly from the comic books, Virginia Pepper Potts. And then we meet Jarvis, voiced by Paul Bettany. And by the way, Paul Bettany hadn't read the script at all. He didn't know anything really about the film. He basically did 2 hours of voiceover work and then flew on a vacation with his wife, Jennifer Connelly. So he's like, this is the best money I ever made. Turns out he ended up having to voice Jarvis in all the rest of the movies and actually played or voiced Vision in the later movies. So, you know, he got something out of it. And Jennifer Connelly voiced the AI in Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's right.
Yeah, so
I don't even know what that is.
It's a Spider-Man movie. People seem to like it.
Because it's good.
Yeah. No, I believe it. Sure.
I think I've seen the Tobey Maguire one, and that's it.
You need to see Spider-Man Into Darkness.
Maybe I saw
that movie doesn't exist.
Okay. What is it? Okay, you need to see Spider-Man Turn Off the Light.
No.
You need to, that's a musical by U2, actually. Turn Off the Dark, right? Yep. I'm sorry. Okay, don't tell me. Spider-Man Miles Morales is Spider-Pig. What?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly it.
What is it actually called?
It's Miles Morales is Spider-Pig.
Yeah.
That's the name of the movie.
Okay.
You nailed it. Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay, it was good. It was a cartoon. I liked it.
It was really good. Maybe the best Spider-Man movie.
It has Nicolas Cage in it, right?
Yep. And Chris Pine.
Oh, that fills me with conflict.
Okay.
Iron Man.
Tony's talking to Rhodey. Rhodey, again, is his military friend, played by Terrence Howard. Who really, his character doesn't get to do a lot in this movie. Like, I don't know what he was expecting. Like,
nope.
He gets one scene at the end where he looks at other suit and says, next time. That's as close to an inside joke as you can get.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I was collecting comic books way back in the day, he was Iron Man at the time.
Rhodey was?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see?
Yeah, I wasn't even aware that there was a character named War Machine. That came later. That was after me.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about no War Machine or Ironmonger or any of this stuff. I think the original villain was going to be MODOK, right?
No.
Yeah, I think so.
No. That would be terrible.
Yeah, it would. Actually, the real original, like the most recent before they actually finalized the script was going to be but the Mandarin, right? But they thought the Mandarin was way too racist.
Yeah, so they saved him for the Shane Black movie.
Exactly, yes.
I'm just waiting for the Calgon ad to creep up.
I don't know. Okay, so by the way, there we get to see a lot about Tony Stark's lifestyle, you know, jet setting and whatever, and like being a ladies' man. Tony arrives at the military outpost in Afghanistan to demonstrate the latest project, the Jericho, an advanced super missile system. So, anyway, after the demonstration, he gets a phone call from Obadiah.
He's really phoning it in, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he couldn't be less bothered than he is to be there.
No. So, blah, blah, blah. He and Rhodey take off in separate Humvees because Tony wants to have a good time. He wants to be in the fun V. And that's when this whole ambush takes place. And then we go back to the present, where Tony regains consciousness in a cave. And on his chest is a strange device, crudely connected to a car battery. Another captive, Dr. Ho Yinsen, played by Sean Taub, explains that he operated on Tony but was unable to remove all the shrapnel, and he created a device, basically an electromagnet, that will keep the remaining fragments from shifting and causing further damage to his heart.
In walks Jason Statham.
Is this canon? Is this what happened? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Okay, all right.
Like back in the 60s, yeah. Yeah, for a long time, that was a running plot point that he had this shrapnel right next to his heart that I think originally he couldn't even get out of the suit or he would die.
Oh, wow. Okay. By the way, I think the actual like effects in this movie hold up just fine. I mean, toward the end, at the very end fight with the bigger robot fighting the Iron Man thing, you know, the seam shown a little bit. But otherwise, like, I love the little heart thing on Tony Stark's chest all the time. Great. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The terrorists then come in, and Yinsen then translates, and they basically want Tony to build them the Jericho missile. And Tony refuses, so they torture him with some waterboarding. Or actually, not really waterboarding. Actually, they duck his head underwater, so it's not simulated drowning. It's actual drowning.
Yep.
You would think that would really muck up the car battery and the connections.
Yeah.
No, I was worried about that. Also, Tony has some super upper body strength because he's just like carting around that car battery just under his arm.
I know. I saw it. I was like, oh my God, those are heavy. Yeah. So Tony then, after some torture, they show off this huge stockpile of weapons that are all made by Stark Industries. And by the way, the terrorist group is called the Ten Rings, which is what they did to the Mandarin character, sort of, because the Mandarin wears 10 rings. Each ring has a power, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the Marvel Universe was not ready to introduce magic yet. That was the whole thing with Iron Man and the Mandarin. It was technology versus magic.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
The center of that conflict.
So Tony appears to give in and starts building a missile, but he has other plans. He's going to make a tiny version of the arc reactor, which is what his design, some sort of crazy power plant. And he's going to run the heart. And then also he decides to make the first Iron Man suit, which I thought looked pretty great. Kind of true to the original sort of, again, janky, clunky Iron Man like origin story in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a, what is it, Ned Kelly kind of thing, or the Hollywood bank robbers sort of thing, where you're fully, mostly bulletproof, and so therefore you're... What's the adjective they give Iron Man? The invincible Iron Man, the something or other?
That sounds right.
So, blah, blah, blah. After hearing the story of this Yinsen's village being bombed by Tony Stark's own weapons, he decides he's going to use the arc reactor and the armored suit to both escape, and also he's going to be rethinking his life.
Yeah, because that was the big revelation when he was in captivity. It was all of the bad guys have Stark Industries weapons. A lot of them.
Yeah, so he's just not funding the good... Or he's not just, like, equipping the good guys, arming the good guys. He's arming everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Which sort of dispels the narrative that his father created when he started Stark Industries as a weapons manufacturer.
All right.
We are introduced to the head of the Ten Rings, Raza.
He is all sneer.
Yes, he is. Blah, blah, blah. Tony completes the whole Iron Man project and then manages to escape. And again, I thought the action scenes were pretty great. And there was enough humor and enough sort of self-deprecation. Didn't feel like a Batman movie, you know?
Yeah, there was... For the heavy subject matter of, you know, being tortured in captivity and trying to figure out a way to actually get out of it before they kill you, it was pretty lighthearted.
Yeah. So he escapes. Yinsen is actually killed, but Tony manages to escape and then is rescued by Rhodey, and they fly back home. And Pepper meets him at the airport, and Tony wants Tony to go to the hospital, but he's like, nope, I want a cheeseburger and a press conference. So they go buy Burger King.
Product placement.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a heavy, they were lots of Burger King tie-ins in this movie, and a lot of Iron Man tie-ins in Burger King at the time.
Burger King and Audi.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah, this was an Audi, love letter to Audi. There's even a story about they wanted the Audi A8 to like break in half or something at one point, but they couldn't make the Audi A8 do that. It was too strong a car, which to me sounds like some like bullshit trivia product placement, but oh well.
This trivia brought to you by Audi.
Exactly. Yes. So anyway, we get back to the United States and, you get the whole group of reporters, and he decides that he is not the arrogant CEO anymore. He's going to shut down the weapons manufacturing division and focus on other things, which Obadiah Stane, which again sounds like something you want to like hide from your mother in the laundry basket and do the laundry yourself.
Also, at this point, we're introduced to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and Agent Phil Coulson, Clark Gregg, mm-hmm. who, by the yep. way, sadly... Clark Gregg is, he and his wife are announcing they're getting divorced. You know who his wife is?
Jennifer Grey!
Who, along with Matthew Broderick, killed a person or two in England or Ireland, I think? No, I don't know. She was in the car. Not her fault. Knows. Anyway, so,
wow.
Clark Gregg, by the way, the reason why his character didn't even have a name, but he's so fucking charming. Like he convinced him to like add a little glint to in the eye of his character. Not only is he charming, but he managed to, what is it? He outlasted his own death in the Avengers movie.
He sure did.
He is that good. And also, He was fantastic as the ex-husband in the New Adventures of Old Christine. Or sorry, the New Adventures of Old Christine.
Mm-hmm.
He's really funny.
He was also in many episodes of The West Wing.
Yeah.
He is the kind of actor that needs to be in a Mamet movie.
Yes.
Also, Clark Gregg, he was great on The Shield.
Yeah, I've never seen a single episode of that, but wasn't, was it Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother in The Shield also? Or was she just in the Avengers movie?
She's in lots of the movies.
Oh, okay. Okay, so yeah, so we meet Clark Gregg, who, like I said, is great. And, of course, the running joke about he works for the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistic Division. It's kind of fun. Again, a lot of this movie is sort of fan service. And again, I don't know how much to believe, but the lore is that this movie didn't have a script so much as like an outline. So much so that Jeff Bridges was a little bit taken aback when he showed up, because he's very, like, he memorizes his lines and knows his thing and does his old school acting. But when he figured it, when he was told basically that they were doing a $200 million student film, he's like, oh, okay, cool. Get to shave my head. I haven't done that in a while. Let's do it.
Yeah. So much like Gwyneth Paltrow, I guess not quite as much as with Gwyneth Paltrow, but Jeff Bridges is an actor who I just tend not to like. Like he's very good and he gives really good performances, but I don't know, just the characters or the movie choices, I just end up not liking him. But I thought he did a really good job in this movie.
Thought it was unlikable.
Yeah, this movie moved fast, and that I think worked mm-hmm. to the advantage of using people like, well, Robert Downey Jr. and Jeff Bridges, where, you know, well, and Gwyneth Paltrow, I mean, you know, being able to like deliver like a good line or two and then it moves on to other action is fantastic. It's sad that Terrence Howard didn't get any lines to say. Again, I don't want to weep for him too much, because it turns out he was something of a pain in the ass to work with, which is another reason why they didn't want to pay him anymore for the next movie. So maybe he Vince Velouf'd himself.
Yeah, Ed Norton should have seen the writing on the wall.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So anyway, so now we have the conflict between Obadiah and Tony, because Obadiah is like, oh no.
Yeah, because we have that horrible interlude with that god-awful Jim Cramer.
Yeah, there was a lot of contemporary references that don't hold up now.
Again, unnecessary.
Well, but remember when he was a thing? He was a thing. Okay, and I think I read like why he made the cut as far as that goes is because he was a big thing with like college students. So it was like a hip young reference.
I mean, there was about 5 years whenever anytime a movie wanted to reference the stock market, they just called up him, right?
Probably. So tired.
Well, similar to calling up Larry King for everything, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or Hugh Downs.
Oh.
May he rest in peace. I mean, differently than Chris. Chris rests after a hard day's work. Hugh rests with the fishes. Sorry, par went out for Hugh Downs, dead at 99 or something.
I'm just going to let you hang out there with that one.
I don't know. Sometimes these things work and often they don't.
That's the name of your autobiography.
Yeah, there you go. No, my autobiography is going to be told my daddy was never the tooth fairy. Or maybe just daddy was never a tooth fairy. I don't know. We'll figure it out. This will be volume one of the. I don't have anything to write about. I've never done anything. I'm not Iron Man.
I think collectively, the three of us have enough stories. We could easily compile a book that would be hilarious and cringe-inducing at the same time.
Yeah, but that book would be called. Yeah, but what exactly is a camshaft?
Yeah, or you know, 2 years ago when I had that book idea, I had a whole different perspective on that particular story. Now I see it in a whole different light.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you, Eric, but I'm going to. If I had not been running so late the other day, I would have actually stopped everything that was going on and conference called the two of you and made my daughter repeat the question she just asked me.
Oh, do tell.
Because she came in and I was, we were cleaning up the house to get ready to come up here to Willow and we were running late. So I was just trying to get everything together and kind of kick the girls outside to go do stuff so they could get some fresh air and not be in the way. And, my oldest came back in and she came upstairs and I was like, why aren't you outside? And she said, I'm looking for some scissors. I was like, did you check in the kitchen? She's like, yes, they're not there. I was like, did you look in your desk? She's like, yeah, they're not there. I was like, yeah. So I almost called you guys just to be like,
yes.
Okay, now ask them what you just asked me so they know I'm not making this up because I'm not the crazy one here.
What time would this have been?
Oh, this is probably like 5 or 6.
Oh, I'd have been home. You should have called me. That would have been hilarious.
Oh, I imagine both of you were available.
That's funny.
Better of it.
It's the thought that counts.
No, I appreciate the thought for sure. Yeah. The children will be tired of being props in our little game. Yeah. And Sue, she will send us a cease and desist letter.
I know the stocking stuffers everybody's going to get this year.
I've already got things on order for, you know, of course there's not going to be any back to school sales. So, people at work were talking today about how, you know, hey, you know, now is a great time to buy plane tickets, you know, because airline flights are cheap. I'm like, yeah, airline tickets are cheap. Caskets are real expensive, but oh well. They don't like that kind of humor, apparently.
You know, I'm booking tickets for Christmas, so.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Just don't renew your magazine subscriptions. You'll be fine.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. You take late night flights. Rest in peace. So now we have the whole set of the tension between Obadiah and Tony as far as the future of the company and also good versus evil. Because Tony now has a change of heart and he's anti-weapons of war. And he is instead wants to focus on something positive, although that never really comes up, right? He doesn't ever say, instead, I want to make clean water for people or feed the hungry. He basically wants to destroy all the Stark Industries weapons, though.
Well, I think he talks about the arc light or the arc, whatever it is.
Reactor, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's
real vague, though.
Well, but I think the implication is, you know, a free, affordable, easy, clean energy. That's a huge thing. You know, in 2008, that's pretty prescient even.
Yeah, but when Obadiah wanted to talk to him about monetizing it, he was like, no, this is just for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Jeff Bridges did a real, really good job at like being kind of the fatherly, like, hey, you need to really think about what you're doing for... at least for a couple minutes before he went full on villain.
Yeah. But well, and also, hey, it's not just you, dude. You have a whole company working for you, including me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no doubt from the first moment that I saw him on screen that he was the villain.
Because he's bald. Bald people are villainous.
And he's named Obadiah Stain.
Exactly, yeah. Okay.
You have some hair, Jason.
Yeah, our father's
not on my head.
Our father, whose birthday is tomorrow, is also follicularly challenged.
He has more hair than I do.
We'll run a comparison tomorrow.
I'm fine without being compared, but thank you.
Yeah. Hey, I'm got like the thinning like what is it?
Oh, shut up. You're fine.
No. But I look in the mirror and I think she's got a great ass.
Well done.
One of the funniest moments that I can remember that was funny only to me was one time when many, many years ago, Jason was visiting from Portland and he came walking up the stairs and I was in the living room with Dad and I went, hey, you guys have the same hair. And the funny part was they were both offended.
Yes.
Thanks for bringing up those great memories.
Yeah. Well, before the podcast, we were talking about our responsibly socially distanced July 4th birthday thing for Dad tomorrow. And I was disappointed and knew that Dad would be disappointed that they had to close the kissing booth. And of course, the bobbing for apples is out this year. So anyway, Obadiah Stane versus Tony Stark.
So Stane like locks him out of the company business, which is another plot that really doesn't go anywhere. I think in the comic books, he actually takes Stark Industries away from Tony Stark and fires him. And that was a whole long plot point. But yeah, here it's just kind of mentioned in passing.
But it gets us to where we need to be, which is a fight between two mech suits. What the Iron Man suit versus the Ironmonger suit.
Well, yeah, after many attempts in Tony's basement laboratory, right?
Yes.
Which were all very fun and amusing.
Yes, they're all fun. That's the thing I liked about this movie, is it's fun. You know, the Batman movies, the Christopher Nolan ones particularly, are so, well, at least the first one, the origin story one, right? Batman Begins is just so dour. Come on, lighten up, dude. At least Tim Burton, you know, he had fun with it. Okay. I don't know. I am particularly anti-Batman lately. And the thing about Tony Stark is Tony Stark is a different kind of hero. You know, the kind of sort of non-heroic kind of hero. And he is, I mean, he is maybe wants to save the world, which is, of course, I guess is heroic. But unlike, say, the Batman, he's not a crime fighter. He doesn't give a fuck about crime. He just wants to go and destroy the weapon so they don't kill people in his own name. In fact, he is committing crimes, probably. Certainly traffic violations.
Also some international airspace restriction issues, so violating sovereign soil of other countries, and yeah.
Vigilanteism, which is my problem with Batman anyway, so perhaps there's a, you know, again, I'm not consistent. I'm a hypocrite.
It's one of the things I really love about the whole Marvel universe and what they did and why I think it's really such an amazing accomplishment is that all of the major characters have really, really crucial character arcs across several movies. And I think for the most part, they are all really effective and they all land. So watching his arc in this movie go from the playboy who doesn't care about anybody but himself to a kind of hero, you know, that's a nice, satisfying character arc for this movie. But charting his arc across all of the movies is just really astounding. But yeah, but going back to this one, it does make you realize he is not really all that heroic. His motivations, while, you know, a net positive, are still really selfish. He wants 100%. To destroy the weapons that have his name on them that went to the people he didn't want to. And that was the impetus for him creating his suit. And, you know, the movie ends before he does anything else. But I mean, that's essentially the whole story. He's not saving the world. He's not even saving the damsel in the distress.
Also, a point of interest is that he's destroying weapons that his company has sold to these people. So ostensibly, if they end up trying to buy more stuff, he's basically just ensuring that there's a return market.
Well, if he doesn't follow through on stopping the production of weapons. Yes, for sure.
And really, it was just a giant analogy for Marvel announcing that it was going to build up its power base just to get its intellectual property back, right?
Oh, there you go. Yes, very nice. See, that's the thing, is that I don't know enough about this whole Marvel Cinematic Universe thing. Like, for instance, is the Ang Lee Hulk, is that non-canonical?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the very first movie in the universe. What's the second movie?
The Incredible Hulk.
Okay, with Edward Norton. So Ed Norton is the Mark Ruffalo is just so much more likable. What do we think about, and again, this is jumping totally around because I don't know anything. I don't know enough about this character. Apparently, she even dated Daredevil at one point. But what is, what's the Black Widow movie going to be like now that it's been pushed back a while, right? I mean, ostensibly it's done, do you think?
Yeah, it's done. It was going to be released in May.
Yeah.
It's going to be, an action movie with Marvel sensibilities.
So, okay, so now we have Avengers Endgame. That, mm-hmm. Again, I don't even, I haven't seen the movie and don't want to do spoilers, I suppose, but it bookends a bunch of stories and allows other characters to take over or be the focus now. They're phasing out some of the old characters, or they use that to phase out a bunch of the characters?
Yes.
Obviously, Black Widow survived because now the Black Widow movie is like post-Endgame.
Black Widow movie was released after Endgame, yes.
But I mean, there's only like one continuous timeline, right? They're not like dipping back and forth?
Well, no, they go back and forth all the time because the Captain America movie is set in World War II.
Okay.
One, all right. Two.
Yeah, World War II, yeah. Turns out Wonder Woman is World War I. And a different universe. So, blah, blah, blah. Fight, fight, fight. We got flying. We got quipping. We got exciting adventures. There's no need to like go to talk like scene for scene, really. Except that, that again, it's fun. The whole S.H.I.E.L.D. concept is great. The introducing S.H.I.E.L.D. like that. We got the two robots. We have the funny little Easter egg where you see Captain America's S.H.I.E.L.D. and Iron Man in Tony Stark's workshop. You see, I guess...
Oh, didn't even notice that.
At the end of the movie, when you see Tony Stark reading the newspaper, talking about the Iron Man and whatever, who is the Iron Man, and they have that picture, the funny piece of trivia is that is a picture that somebody basically took, somebody took a picture on set and leaked it to the like tabloids. So, it's kind of fun. And there's a lot of, like... Putting together all this stuff required, I think the Ironmonger's outfit took like something like 8 or 10 roboticists or puppeteers or whatever to control that actual thing all on a gimbal so you can move it across. It's pretty impressive.
I believe it. This movie does suffer from something that a lot of the Marvel movies suffer from. I guess superhero movies in general is... You do a good job with the world building and you come up with really creative characters who have really unique abilities. And then it still all comes down to dudes or ladies just punching each other in the face.
Yeah. I remember when I watched, first Thor movie, mm-hmm. where it just ends up being a fight with a giant robot at the end, or maybe it's a space alien robot or something.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. To me, that's a little bit disappointing, but you know, I guess you want to have a big fight at the end, right? I don't know. And you want to cheer.
It's true, you do.
Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, any other notes about Iron Man?
Nope.
I know we yada yada through most of the end of it, but
it's an action movie, so there's not. Yeah. I mean, it looked good. It was a very visually appealing movie. It moved along and had a good pace. The plot was decent. I didn't hate the movie. It was a decent movie. I had some problems with some of the, like, there was no need for the plane with the stripper flight attendants. Like, that was just ridiculous. So, like, you're going to go with, oh, well, that's showing his depravity or whatever. Like, it wasn't necessary.
You got to see the Stan Lee. That was fun. One of his better cameos.
No more of those.
No. Pour one out for Uncle Stan.
The ending of the movie was fun because they are completely making fun of the ridiculous plot point in the comic books where that was a thing where Iron Man was the cover story was that Iron Man was Tony Stark's bodyguard.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was a real comic book plot. So if you expected them to be like super faithful to the comic books, that was a pretty surprising ending when he just announces it, that he is Iron Man. I thought that was a really fun way to end the movie when I first saw it in the theater.
Yeah. Can we talk about what a freaking great band Black Sabbath was. Like, this period Black Sabbath, like, the song Iron Man is amazing. Still holds up. They, like, set a mood, like, that whole, you know, the Black Sabbath sound where, like, the notes of doom. Really great stuff. When we talk about the history of heavy metal, I'm sure we'll talk about Black Sabbath, but...
I think that whole album holds up.
Yeah, Paranoid is a great album. And the lyrics are amazing. And often misquoted, or at least during my youth, they are misquoted by nuts who would lead you to believe that that all heavy metal music was about Satan.
It's not.
It's not. Iron Man is about the Iron Giant, right? The Ted, whatever his name was. What's that guy's name? Ted something or other. His wife was Sylvia Plath, maybe?
Ted Whistlebridges.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway. Nice. So
Ted Hume, right?
Yes, there you go. Yeah, or Ted Hughes, maybe?
I think Hume.
Hume, okay. Well,
Howard Hughes?
Yeah, who knows?
Howard the Duck?
Howard Krimmer? Havasama?
Terrence Howard?
Yeah, yes.
Howard Stark.
Part one out. Papa Stark. So, Brother Jay, what do you think?
It was a decent action movie. I'd give it a B+.
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
This movie's definitely worth it. I was so happy to revisit it. Whether or not the two of you want to do it with me, I'm going to rewatch all of the Marvel movies in order.
Well, I think we should do them in series here.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I definitely want to be
involved. Because I don't think I've seen... I really don't know that I've seen any of the rest of them.
Okay, that's great. Because I cannot wait to talk to you guys about Avengers Endgame in 2 years.
I definitely haven't... I mean, what's the next movie in the series?
The Incredible Hulk.
Haven't seen it. What's after that?
Iron Man 2.
Haven't seen it. What's after that?
Captain America, or is it Avengers?
It's either Captain America or Thor. I think it's Thor. And then it's Captain America, and then it's Avengers.
Haven't seen any of those.
I think we're in for a treat.
I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are the only ones I've seen.
And I haven't seen any of those. But I hear from a podcast that I like listening to that they're really good.
They're fun.
The first one's far better than the second one. We'll see what the third one
does have Kurt Russell.
True.
So I didn't stay for the rest of the credits, but I really like the design, the credit design. Again, they really had that Marvel thing going with the Iron Man, because you never even get the metallic voice Iron Man. You get the Iron Man, and then it's that break at the end where it changes up a little bit and becomes much more like drum and guitar solo and stuff.
Do credits scare you?
No, I'm kidding. I watched, of course.
You stayed for it
to be introduced to Nick Fury, director of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sam Jackson. Because I knew as a kid, I just knew Nick Fury as a white guy. So this is like groundbreaking. Even though apparently there's
the story about that, right?
How that came to be?
Huh. So this happened after I stopped collecting comic books, but. I think it was an initiative that Marvel had to kind of restart their universe so that new readers didn't have to understand 40 years of canon. So they created a whole different universe with the same characters. I think it was called the Ultimates. Ah. Ultimates universe. So they had different versions, more updated versions of characters. And the creators... decided to make Nick Fury a black guy, and they modeled the character design off of Sam Jackson.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So they made him like this tall black dude with an eye patch. And so when the movies came about, they actually got to cast him.
And he's a comic book fan.
As we found out in Unbreakable. Yeah.
I was going to say, and he starred in two comic book movies I can think of. Unbreakable and Glass. We need to watch those movies. Jason, have you seen... Actually, we don't need to see Unbreakable. I'm going to double down on the fact that Unbreakable is a boring ass movie.
Is Split Unbreakable is Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Boring.
I recall it being not very good.
They had the best ad campaign. I know I've talked about this before, but it was maybe the first internet ad campaign I had ever seen. And so you'd see like these little tiny internet videos that were like, you know, or maybe they would ask you to like do an internet questionnaire or something. Like, have you ever like gotten into a serious car accident where other people were hurt and you weren't hurt at all? Or have, it's a lot. It's they tricked you into being intrigued by this movie.
Have you ever been sick?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah, like because Bruce Willis has never been sick. Yeah. Anyway, turns out that movie is it's kind of story to tell. Don't get me wrong. I was intrigued by the story, but it is boring.
Iron Man was not boring.
No, Iron Man was not boring.
Iron Man made me appreciate Gwyneth Paltrow, which I'm not prone to do.
She's not too busy steaming her vagina with a jade egg.
Well, I mean, on camera. But speaking of which, yeah, I thought she was very charming in this movie. I felt.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah, there's some good acting in this movie. Anyway, speaking of steaming vaginas and and things that aren't boring, you know what's not boring? You know, you would think it might be boring, but it's not boring. Automotive maintenance. Now, if you live in Tempe, Arizona, you could do a lot worse than taking your vehicle to Greaser's Automotive in Tempe. Phone number, if you want to give them a call and chit-chat, is 480-946-0890, 480-946-0890. Now, this is where one of you needs to say, well, what if I'm not in Tempe? What if I'm elsewhere in the Phoenix area?
But, Eric, I don't live in Arizona.
Okay, that's not... That's not exactly what I was headed toward. But I was more like, okay, what if I'm not in Tempe? Tempe? I don't know why I want to call it like some sort of exotic
fruit. What if I'm in Tolleson, Arizona instead?
No. How about, okay, so you're not right in Tempe, but what if you're, okay, if you're in Mesa, if you're in Gilbert, if you're in Scottsdale, hey, you can even limp your rig in from Buckeye. They're not going to look askance at that. They service the entire Phoenix metropolitan area. The goddamn Valley of the Sun. It's all convenient to Greaser's Automotive.
Phoenix, it has a great children's museum.
Excellent. So now this is where one of you has to say, hey, so what is this, like an oil change place?
Is it near Pahonix?
Okay, you guys have to play along with me now.
I'm sorry.
What if I need to get my oil changed, Brother Eric?
No, that's not. So what you're saying is Chris owns like an oil change place. That's what I want you to say.
So this is like a place where I can get my oil drained?
Jesus Christ. All right. Never mind. No, nope. You know what?
Give us a script.
No, I'm going. No, I don't want to be unscripted. I mean, I have my own script, so fuck it. I'll do it. I'll do it live. I'll do it myself. Wait, it'll be fine. Wait.
You didn't want it to be scripted, but you had your own script.
Well, I wanted you to say something the natural sounding, but I'm leading you in a particular direction.
I think had you given us some notice and notes, we could have probably sounded genuine and come up with something genuine. But on the fly, I don't know that I'm... Since we don't know what direction you are heading, the plan only comes off of a cohesive trio when more than one of us knows what's going on.
Okay. All right. Point taken. I'll take your notes. I'll take your creative notes. We'll do this again another time, and I'll provide much more direction to you. That's fine.
Well, there is another Iron Man movie, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We can improve. We can do it better, faster.
Anyway, so if you need some automotive maintenance done, go to the guys you trust. Greaser's Automotive, Tempe, Arizona, 480-946-0890. Or go to Greaser's Automotive online.
Do they have a Facebook page?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. Look it up. What the fuck do I know? They probably have a Twitter account, too, and an Instagram. I don't fucking know. A tickety-talk and a hippity-hop. I don't know.
Wow.
Don't forget a Snapface.
Snapface, yes.
Eric, why are you bringing up Greaser's Automotive on an Iron Man movie podcast?
Okay. Yeah, okay, all right. Sound less natural. Go ahead, I dare you. No, our buddy Chris, our childhood friend, owns Greaser's Automotive. When he's not Iron Man in his own private life, professionally, he owns an automotive shop. And he'll take care of all of your cars and vans and light trucks, SUVs. And the thing is, it's not about, well, never mind. Like, I can't do it. I'm out of character. I'm gone. The old buddy Deb and Derek here, tell him to go to Reese's Automotive.
There is indeed a Facebook page.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The logo's great.
Shout out to Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have deep roots together. He grew up right across the street from the three of us.
I don't know what that was all about, but...
What? My reaction?
Yeah.
There's percussion going off next door because they're blowing shit up.
Oh, yeah, 3rd of July.
Yeah, because it's dark here.
Anyway, so the thing about Greaser's Automotive, see, it's not just an oil change place. I mean, sure, oil needs changing and whatnot, but, you know, intellectually, all of us know that routine maintenance should be a regular part of any car owner's life, so that little problems don't become bigger problems. But see, practically, and all of us have experienced this, it's kind of a pain in the ass. So sometimes you put off getting something checked. Now, my favorite method is putting a piece of black tape over that check engine light. But we all have our own little ways. Turning up the radio, if we hear a funny noise, it's also a good way to avoid getting problems checked. Thing is, if you're in Arizona and you put shit like this off, you could end up being stranded on a street in Arizona when it's like 122 degrees or something. And then what are you going to do? You know, call a tow truck and get taken to some place you found on Yelp? You're talking stranger danger, people. Stranger danger. These are places.
Greaser also has tow trucks?
No.
No. Greaser's is Tempe's finest auto repair shop, serving the entire Phoenix metropolitan area with the personal attention that customers deserve.
That's the thing. You want personal attention. You want somebody who cares about your car. You don't want the stranger danger. You don't want to go having these crazy rando one-night automotive stands. You want someone you trust, okay? Someone that knows your car. Someone that cares. Remember those guys in high school that could fix any car problem? The guys at Greaser's are those guys, but they're all grown up, and the owner is Iron Man. They're not in it for the quick, expensive fix like the wham bam, thank you, Grandam. They're all about building a relationship with their customers, but not in a creepy way. I mean, they're not going to get up on your personal business, but they will remember that you're the one that has the katana rack mounted in your Miata, and that Miatas are notorious for clogs in the rain rail drains. See, you're not going to get that from swiping right on that happy lube guy. So, we're all super stressed over the Corona right now, but what you don't need is the added stress of your unreliable Corolla. So, get that Toyota or any other car, SUV, van, or light truck over to Greaser's and they'll treat you right.
Is it possible? Is it even possible to be an unhappy lube guy?
Well, you know, I haven't had extensive history going from lube joint to lube joint, but it seems like, you know, a lot of the grease monkeys there, they don't always have the happy-go-lucky face. There's some frowns that could be turned upside down. And I'm not even saying that the guys at Greaser's are going to be all smiling with the, like a new dime. No, that's not even, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and of course, I've actually never been to Phoenix, Arizona, or the Tempe area, or the area there. So I'm basically taking on the word of a lot of happy customers. And the fact that we know that Chris is going to do a good job because he cares about what he does. He also has one of those robot tables that has sand in it that will make designs for you. Crazy designs. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Okay. Think about like a coffee table with a glass top, I think, and then like sand underneath it, and then a little machine that will make a design in the sand from underneath that can be very intricate.
Fancy.
That's the kind of robotics.
True or false? Chris went to MIT.
True. Yes. In his case, it was the Music Institute of Technology, but he is a graduate from MIT. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't have the brass rat ring, though, I don't think. That's the alumni ring from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The one that you'll see Obadiah Stane wearing.
I think he has a German Shepherd as his mascot.
Chris?
Yeah.
Odin.
His dog's name was Odin? Are we going to do another impromptu Greaser's ad during Thor then?
We could, yes.
Did you listen to Norse mythology?
I have not.
You should.
Okay.
Good. I heard you and Jason talking about it.
Oh, yeah. When were we to... Oh, on that episode that you were on. Oh, there you go. Yeah. You think it's okay for Journey?
Yeah, if she can get past the first part, totally.
She is big into facts now. She
loves facts. Yeah, it's not the facts that this is the problem, though. No, it's a little...
The trivia.
I thought it was good. Drew, you listened to it?
Yeah, there's some stories about birds pecking out eyeballs and stories about goats tugging on balls.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Maybe Loki getting impregnated while he's a horse.
Well, speaking of greasers, you look at the Greeks. Their mythology has lots of that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, Zeus was kinky.
Oh, yeah. All them Olympians. Wild and crazy stuff.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey, Drew. Hey.